get to that later. Excellent. How is everybody? You good? How was your Christmas? Very good. Fantastic. Well, thank you for being here, everyone, on the last Sunday of the year. And I know that we have many people watching us online from caravan parks and family homes interstate. So welcome to you as well. It's lovely to be chatting with you. I know that there are some of us who are heading off on holidays fairly soon as well. As of this afternoon, I'm on annual leave, so that's pretty exciting.
Yes.
All right, I am wondering if anyone can relate to the picture that is on the screen behind you. Can anyone relate to this? I tell you, I can relate to this. Particularly as a younger person, I was an incredible overpacker. I think that's probably because I tend to be a worst case scenario by default kind of a person. So I always think about what could possibly go wrong. Is it going to be a blizzard? Is it going to be blistering hot? Are the facilities going to be clean enough? Will I need to clean them myself? Will I get a toothache? You know, whatever could possibly go wrong, I would pack accordingly. I have gotten a little bit better as I have gotten older, probably because I've started travelling with one of my besties, and she is the exact opposite to me. So my bestie once did a 2-week holiday of Tasmania with luggage about this size. That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. And she didn't smell bad either. when you open her luggage, everything has a place, everything is really ordered, there's no double ups of anything, and worse yet, everything matches. She's one of those people where the luggage looks just as perfect on the inside. Yeah, is anyone like that?
No.
Yes, I see that. Life goals right there. Life goals. Some very well-travelled people over here. Fantastic. So my friend, she seems to have decided ahead of time that the what-ifs will be taken care of at the other end. So there will be shops. If she needs an umbrella, if she needs whatever, she can borrow, she can buy something at the other end. That's how she chooses to travel. Now, in Luke chapter 9, we're going to start our sermon today. Jesus has been travelling around the land of Galilee. He's been doing all sorts of miracles, casting out demons. He's been preaching the word. And he has a large group of disciples that he has been travelling with. They have been with him night and day. They've been watching everything that he does, taking in every word that he says, learning everything that they possibly can from him. When we get to chapter 9 of Luke, and we start to turn the corner a little bit because Jesus is now turning his attention toward Jerusalem. He knows that very soon he's going to start his journey toward Jerusalem, and he knows that ahead of him is death. Of course, there's resurrection and all sorts of things, but the time has come where he is no longer going to be the star of the show. He's going to be turning over his ministry to his disciples. So in chapter 9, he gathers 12 together, the 12 that are the closest, the best trained, and he says to them to go out and do the same. Go out and do as I have been doing. He says to heal the sick, cast out demons, and proclaim that the kingdom of God has drawn near. So they are both proclaiming, they're both explaining the kingdom and showing what it's like. So it's word and it's deed. But he tells them, in a crazy twist, that there's a whole bunch of stuff that they can't take with them. And it seems a bit strange. They are not allowed to take with them a walking stick, a traveller's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. I mean, I commend packing light. For those of you who pack light, I think that is just a life goal for me. But I feel like this is a little bit extreme. I mean, Mark, you'd surely pack a change of clothes. You do. Yes, this is good. But Jesus is actually putting the disciples here in a situation where they are vulnerable and they're reliant on the hospitality of others. He's assuming that the ancient Jewish custom of taking in strangers and being hospitable to strangers is going to kick in and these guys are going to be taken care of. But I wonder how you would feel as one of those disciples just being sent out with anything. Would you feel a little bit vulnerable? Yeah. So chapter 9 carries on. Jesus is super busy in chapter 9. There's the transfiguration, there's the feeding of the 5,000, there's casting out of demons. Lots of stuff happens in chapter 9. And then we roll into chapter 10. At chapter 10, things start to get much bigger. Instead of sending out 12, he sends out 72.
And this is where we're going to pick up the story. It says this in verse 1, that the Lord chose 72 other disciples, and he sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places that he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a this is sounding familiar, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Okay, so now the mission has expanded. It's not just 12, it's 12 times 6. It's 72 people who are being sent out. It's a large group, and they're being sent out in pairs. And Jesus is actually on the move now. Jesus has actually started his journey, and they are sent ahead of him to prepare the way. Now, this is a really significant point in the gospel. This is a really significant turning point. Because the mission of Jesus was never meant to be the responsibility of a chosen few. The mission of Jesus was never just meant to be for the pastors and for the leaders. The mission of Jesus is for everyone who calls Jesus their Lord. Every follower of Jesus, every disciple of Jesus is someone who is on mission for Jesus. And we are called and we learn from him, we are sent by him, every single one of us. The mission of Jesus is in our hands. Okay, so this time they can't take money, they can't take a traveler's bag or an extra pair of sandals, but there is an additional instruction here. Don't stop and chit-chat. No chit-chat, guys. This is serious business. This is urgent. Don't stop and greet people along the way. There is urgency here, so don't get distracted. And what is this urgency? What is this all about? Well, Jesus talks about it being harvest time. Harvest time, the fruit, the wheat, it's ready to be brought in. But it's not going to be a harvest of wheat and grapes. It's going to be a harvest of people. People are responding to the message of the kingdom. So in addition, the conditions have changed for these 72. Firstly, there will be more work than they can possibly handle. So they're going to need to pray for helpers. Other people who are called on the same mission and invested in getting the harvest in on time. Second condition that's changed, there are going to be haters. There are going to be people that are not happy to see you, people that are not happy with what you're doing. In Jewish culture, in ancient Jewish culture, the symbol of the wolf meant someone who ate their enemies. That's pretty serious, right? I mean, it's one thing to have someone not like you, but to have someone that hates you so much that they want to eat you, that's pretty confronting. Pretty confronting. They are going to have haters. But you can feel a shift, can't you? You can feel a shift between chapter 9 and chapter 10. Things just got really serious. Things just got leveled up. The mission is bigger. They're going out in pairs. It's more dangerous. It's more urgent. It's more serious. But they're still not allowed to pack any creature comforts. I mean, come on, guys. If you were going to go off on a mission like that, surely you could take something nice from home just to give you a bit of comfort on the way. No, no. Jesus says, leave these things behind. Leave these things behind. You know, we pack differently depending on where we're going. Is that right? Yeah. So if I'm going down to Busso for New Year's, I would pack my bathers. I'd probably pack some sunscreen and I'd probably pack a towel. If I were going to the Northern Hemisphere, I would probably pack a parka, some gloves and a beanie, because you pack differently depending where you're going. You also pack differently depending what you expect to find at the other end. So, for example, if I was to pop over the ditch over to New Zealand and visit one of my besties on the North Island, if I forgot to pack toothpaste, that wouldn't be a biggie, because I'm sure I could borrow some. And they have shops in New Zealand, I'm told. Yep, yep, they do. They do. So that would not be a biggie. If, however, you were going to go off-grid, if you were going to go to the outback, my parents have done trips like this. This is the kind of trip where you have to pack your own toilet. I've got news for you. If you have to pack your own toilet, that's not a holiday. But you have to pack everything because you know that there are no shops there. There are people you can't borrow things from. If you know that there's going to be nothing at the other end, you have to think of everything. So why is Jesus asking them to leave things behind? You know, despite the danger, Jesus is still asking them to assume that there will be provision and accommodation where they're going. But more than that, he's asking them to assume that there will be people at the other end, people that are open to the message and will want to take them in, people that want to know about Jesus. He's asking the disciples to stake their comfort and their well-being on that fact. So here's my question to you today. Is there anything that you feel like Jesus is asking you to leave behind in 2025? Is there something that's not going to make the cut to carry over into 2026? A little bit later today, you're going to have an opportunity to actually physically leave something behind. So have a think about what that might be for you. What is the Lord asking you to leave behind in 2025? Okay, so now we get to verse 5, and it says this. Jesus is still speaking. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, "May God's peace be on this house." If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking whatever they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. So Jesus is putting the disciples